Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cozy Club, a warm hug in podcast form for all the soft hearts out there. Grab a warm drink and join us for wholesome books, games, stories, and more. My name is Monica.
And I'm Reagan.
And we're so excited because today we're going to be talking about our Cozy Club book club pick, The Thursday Murder Club.
Woo! I'm so excited. I have it in hand right now. Wait, look, book ASMR. but before we dive into chatting about the book itself, a few reminders. First up, if you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast if you're interested on your preferred podcast app of choice. And if you want to, if you're so inclined, if you could leave us a review, as it does help us out so much. And then we also wanted to quickly mention that we are going on our quote-unquote winter break. We basically have structured this podcast to be kind of seasonally cozy. So we're going to be prepping and we'll be back with our spring cozy season the very first week of March, where we'll also announce our next book club and have all types of spring leaning cozy content.
So excited. I can't wait for it to be warm.
I know. I literally live in Texas. Like, what am I talking about? It's like 50 degrees. It's not that bad.
Jealous. So yeah, I guess to kick things off, we could talk a little bit about what the book is about in case any of you haven't read it. But obviously, if you haven't, you probably are going to want to click off of this podcast pretty soon. But a quick overview, this book, we basically follow a group of people who are living in a retirement community together. And they have this club called the Thursday Murder Club where they try to solve crimes. And they actually get a real case. And this is us following them over the course of the novel, trying to solve actually a few different cases. And it's definitely a really fun, interesting read, especially reading from the perspective of like senior citizens.
Yeah, it's a really fun case. Like, I think this is one of my, I've been getting more into cozy mysteries, and I feel like this is a really good example of it, because a cozy mystery can be somehow both heartwarming, but also like wildly sinister. Like, we're still talking about like murder and like underhanded situations. And I think the setup of this book personally made me really excited about it. One, that we're following a group of older individuals, and they kind of have this collective passion of trying to solve these cold cases, and then lo and behold, an actual case, an actual murder happens right on their doorstep and like really involves their community. So seeing their story unfold and as they work together was personally like the reason I was so excited to pick this book up, and I think also I think the best part of the book, but that's just me.
Do we want to kick things off and talk about our overall just sort of like non-spoilery thoughts,
yeah, like broad readings, thoughts,
all of that?
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. And I think too, we will announce, I suppose, when we start going into more specific spoilery stuff. So if you want to like listen with us, maybe let's call it the first half of this podcast episode, when we shift over to spoilers, we will be sure to announce it. But I would say I enjoyed this book. I feel like it really walked the line, as I kind of mentioned, between heartwarming and endearing and an intriguing mystery, which I think is just like a really cool combination. I think the setting was just so smart. And I also feel like it really included the reality that when people get older, they are just in general taken less seriously by society. And, you know, which is bizarre in a way, because one, they have more experience than anyone around them. And two, like they led a whole life like leading up to this moment. And so seeing these characters, one, like kind of develop their friendship, but you also learn more about them as they kind of reveal more about their past and like lean on their own skill sets to help solve this case, was just so wonderful. And the strength of this book for me was definitely the characters and their connections and seeing the development of like different friendships. What I'll say about the mystery is I found it to be intriguing. Like, I definitely feel like in the beginning it hooked me pretty fast. Like, there was a lot of twists and turns. I wasn't sure who was necessarily involved, and the mystery itself also compounded, which I felt like was rather successful. We went from like one case to two cases to three cases, and you're like, are they connected? Are they not connected? So I feel like the combination of like great characters, which you like to read from, and then also actually a compelling mystery made this, for me at least, like a very quick read. I think overall I'd give this book like a solid like 3.75, 4 stars. I wouldn't say it's like my new favorite read, but in terms of like what it was trying to accomplish, I found it to be a very endearing experience. What about you?
Yeah, I feel pretty similarly. I would say my rating would probably be more like a 3.5 for me. Mm-hmm. I really liked the characters. I agree. I think that was my favorite part. You know, I haven't really read a lot of books where you follow elders and like people who are, you know, seniors and living still like very vibrant, fruitful, exciting mm-hmm. lives. And I think like that is so important. And so I think that element of it is what I loved the most. And just like seeing again, like all of their relationships and how they even like just meeting new people. And like, there's still so much like life to live. And I really mm-hmm. loved that element of the book. I think at the same time, what I know about myself is that I tend to struggle with contemporary books that have a lot of characters, especially when all of the names are like very like, what is it, like Anglo-Saxon? Is that the is that the word? Like just very similar. Like Western. Yeah. So it's like it gets to be difficult because like once you have like John, Johnny, Ron,
yeah,
it's like who's who?
And so Chris, that's like, more of a lot.
Yeah. So that's definitely more of a personal problem. And I will say to anyone listening, if you want to read this, do not switch back and forth between the audiobook and the physical book if you are reading like from the US, because the issue is that the US and the UK editions are slightly different. Like they change some names, and that also really threw me off. So again, that's not really the fault of the book, but I just want to like throw it out there in case anyone hasn't read this and wants mm-hmm. to, as a little warning. Other than that, I liked the plot itself, but for me it was like almost the least compelling part, except for like one element like kind of near the end. I was like, oh, I kind of like that. But for the most part, yeah, I just like, I didn't really find the mystery to be as compelling as I think I wanted it to be. It was also darker than I thought it was going to be.
I was going to touch on that later. Like, there is some very serious topics mm-hmm. that wasn't just, like, a one-time thing. It was like, why is this happening so frequently? But I guess we can talk more specifically about that later on.
I think that's the thing that, like, I've only really read one other cozy mystery before this, but I've watched, like, cozy mystery kind of mm-hmm. shows. And it's the one thing that always does, like, almost throw me a bit with cozy mystery stuff. Is that it's always like exploring these very serious topics and doing it in this like jovial way, or not jovial, I guess, but just like, yeah, it's just always sort of a weird thing with the tone that always just like throws me off a bit. But overall, I did enjoy it. It's not my favorite book in the world, but I'm glad that I read it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And I think like, I liked the group of characters, and this is a series, so I try to keep that in mind too, because I think mm-hmm. I loved the characters, but I similarly struggled with there being so many, and I don't know if everyone felt fleshed out to me, but I'm like, well, it's good to remember that there's more books in this series, so maybe some characters that didn't get a lot of screen time will be like developed more in the future. Not to say that that is an excuse for their underdevelopment in this book, but yeah, I did like it. I found the mystery too, like the introduction of the mystery got me. And then again, when we talk more spoilers, there was pieces of the mystery that I really liked. And then the kind of end part of it too was, I don't know if it's funny that you mentioned, like, I don't know if I even cared at that point. Cause like there's other parts of the story that I was like more invested in, but it was interesting to be like, oh, okay. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But at least I didn't guess it. Did you guess it?
Oh no, I didn't guess a single thing. I'm not good at guessing. I also like actively or not actively. I don't try to guess things too. For usually, like I like being surprised. I like having that feeling. So if I am able to guess something, then like it's got to be really obvious.
I am like half and half. Like I can't help but to speculate, but I'm not trying to like spoil myself. I will say for people who like mysteries, there's a lot of red herrings in this book, and I do think that was fun. It was like a very classic, like oop, like. Is this it because of this? Is this it for this? And then they always tried at least to like acknowledge the red herring and explain, oh, no, not this because of this kind of thing, which I always love a red herring and then an explanation as to why. It kind of reminded me actually, have you seen the movie Clue?
Yes.
I felt like how they handled the red herrings through this was almost kind of like Clue in some ways. Like they'd like show it how it happened, and then they'd be like, wait, never mind, nope, scrap that, like we were wrong, like let's take it from the top again. So I did like that approach in terms of some of the reveals within this book.
Yeah, I agree. Do we want to talk, since we talked about characters and how that was our favorite part, do you have a favorite character?
Oh, yes. Oh, so I would say it's tied for me. Mm-hmm. So I would say Joyce and Elizabeth by far are my favorite characters in this book. And I love their dynamic separately and together. So for context, if you haven't read the book, again, all these people are living in a retirement community. So they all have different backgrounds and they're residing with together. So like Joyce is this like classic, lovable grandma character. Like she bakes delicious cookies and cakes and she's like really, 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 really caring. And I don't know, like she loves her daughter and she's just going about her day and she's just, mm-hmm. she has such a big and full heart. And you see her and you read from her diary throughout this story. So she's like talking about her perspective of events. And I think having her point of view of different scenes too, because of like who she is, and she's not really, I would say, like a very forward person. It's like, I thought was a great touch. And then there's Elizabeth, who you see their development of their friendship, who's like definitely some sort of secret agent, like retired woman, who's so cool, who's so fearless, who's so headstrong, like has all these connections. And they're just so funny together. And mm-hmm. I could have like a whole TV show. They're just amazing together as characters. What about you?
I completely agree. Joyce was definitely my favorite. I loved every diary entry. Her voice, like, she's not similar at all in character, but for some reason her voice in her diary entries just reminded me so much of like how Emily Gilmore would talk.
And
like just like the way that she would like say things in this sort of like, she just had, like, a wit about her. I don't want to call it passive aggressiveness, but just, like, the way that she would talk about things is, like, what's proper. Oh, I was just, like, I'm just getting such Emily Gilmore vibes from, like, the way that this character is, like, talking.
Yeah.
But in, like, the best way. In, like, Emily Gilmore at her most wholesome self. And so, yeah, I loved her as a character. And I think, I thought just, like, having the diary entries in general was really fun, just to have, like, mm-hmm. something to kind of, like, break up the sort of standard plot of the book.
Yeah.
And like really let you into one of the characters' heads. I just really thought that was an interesting choice, writing wise.
I totally agree. And I think in general, as we keep mentioning, the characters for me are definitely the strongest part of this book. I think too, outside of seeing like the blossoming of different friendships and also how like relationships can evolve and you can always have new people in your life no matter at what age, I think too there's a lot of discussion about the realities of getting older and like the feeling of losing a partner, the feeling of losing a friend, and like trying to create a new chapter for yourself or like create a new opportunity for yourself and not quite fall mm-hmm. into the trap of like just existing to exist until it's no longer, until you're no longer doing that. And I think like, I don't know, I feel like the author touching on that and like speaking to the characters' thoughts on like life and death was an interesting choice. And I also felt like obviously there's murders going on, but there's like also this larger dialogue of existence and mortality and stuff kind of happening too. And I also felt like it really allowed you to empathize like a lot with the characters. And like, for example, there's this one chapter that like made me tear up with Elizabeth. She was specifically, her husband struggles with, I'm assuming, some type of Alzheimer's or something like that. And so you mm-hmm. see her writing in her journal and she sets a question for herself like every 2 weeks to like try to, that she has to answer in 2 weeks. And so she has to reflect back if she's like able to do it as a way to check to see, because mm-hmm. she says she'll be the first to know if like something is going awry. And I don't know, I just like something like that, this feeling of she's so capable and she herself believes she's so capable, but there's also just things completely outside of her control and the emotional toll of those types of things. Like all the characters are kind of dealing with that in their own way as well as they're moving through this book and moving through this mystery.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's like, you know, I feel like our world is so set up to not be accessible for the elderly mm-hmm. too, and to like not really, like I never really thought about certain things like that. The other one was like the buddy system that mm-hmm. two of the characters had of like basically calling each other every day to make sure they were still alive. And it's these like these things that I feel like you don't think about as like a reality for a lot of people. And I feel like as a culture, we tend to just like try to avoid ever acknowledging that like we get older mm-hmm. in this way that like I think makes it harder then for elderly people to exist and to have full lives. And so mm-hmm. I feel like books like this that like sort of stand in the face of that are really yeah. important.
I totally agree. And they're all aware too. Like mm-hmm. they're like self-aware, and the book is self-aware in this way. Like, for example, a large early plot point of the book is that they want to be involved in this murder. And so they're trying to figure out like an in with the local police department where they can get mm-hmm. information so they can continue to help solve the case. They basically tricked the police department because they're like, oh, these old people, they need our help. Or like when they come over for interviews, like they're purposely making the police officer super uncomfortable. They would never guess, because like, why would you suspect these like kindly mm-hmm. old people? But they're like scheming and smart, and they're, I don't know, they have all these skills and all this life experience that's feeding into being able to solve and crack the case. Like, they solved and cracked the case. And I don't know, I just felt like the book itself, like centering these more unlikely main characters, was just by far and away like my favorite part of the book. It's like bittersweet. You loved them. They were endearing. I want more like stage time for some of the characters. Like, we got a lot of Joyce mm-hmm. and Elizabeth, who I love, but there's some other characters like Ron and Ibrahim that they were there, and we got some, but like I feel like they could be developed a bit more too.
Yeah, that's fair. Is it time to go into spoilers?
Yeah, let's get some spoilery stuff going on. All right,
so if you have not read this book, it is time to click away, and we will see you in March for our next episode.
Thanks for listening. Now scram.
All right. Now let's talk about these reveals. What were your thoughts on, I guess the first question I have, and this was something I was trying to think about, is that at the very beginning, there's that
quote,
those like few, yeah, that quote, or not quote, the sort of you hear from the killer, like right before the novel starts, and it's, killing someone is easy, hiding the body now, that's usually the hard part, that's how you get caught, kind of goes on from there for mm-hmm. a few lines. Who do we think said that line? Like, do we think that's Penny?
I think it's Penny.
Yeah.
Because it feels yeah. like the graveyard. Which,
true.
To me, like, where do we hide the body? Because it was, like, kind of the perfect hiding spot, right?
Yeah.
Until it wasn't. So should we go through the three reveals? So the three reveals, as it stands, is who killed Tony, mm-hmm. who killed Ian, who was the worst, mm-hmm. and who, what were the, like, who and who put the bones in the graveyard? Like, who were they, and then who put them there? Like, those are the three, I think, like, central big mysteries.
Yeah.
Do we want to rank them from best, like, to least satisfying?
Yeah, I think for me, Penny's was definitely, like, the bones, because for a while, I, like, really wasn't interested in that plot line at
really?
All. Like, I just, I was like, this was 30 years ago. I don't know. These people, why are we, and I just didn't understand why we were focusing on it, because it felt like mm-hmm. sort of, like, tangential to what was going on, like, in mm-hmm. the actual plot. But then to find out the actual story, that it was Penny, and she was, like, a vigilante, I was mm-hmm. like, ooh, actually, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it also just, like, because we had been like introduced to Penny as a character, and like seeing her sort of at the end of life, and but also hearing about how just big and full her life was, mm-hmm. It really got me. So I think that one was maybe my favorite, just like not even from like a reveal standpoint, but more so just from like a character standpoint.
I agree. And I also like didn't see it coming. Like, I kept was mm-hmm. I was still, because they got me, because they were talking about that kid who got shot, who was relevant, like at the bar, who also got shot in the leg. So I was like, is it that guy? Like, did he get yeah. sticked from the bar, you know? But it wasn't. It was Penny doing like vigilante justice, which is in itself like an interesting thing, because, you know, she killed someone for justice. Like, is murder ever right? And like, there's a mm-hmm, lot of mm-hmm. gray morality, I think, with the justice that's presented in this book. And I appreciate, at least it's not like by the book everything is like yes no in terms of how they would approach certain situations. I agree. I think the Penny one was interesting, and I think tangentially we could say the John one is connected to the Penny one. Like mm-hmm, the John mm-hmm. reveal, or I should say the Ian killer reveal, was mm-hmm. John, which I can say I did not see coming. Which obviously yeah. he did it to protect Penny, which like in and itself is like very emotional. It was a yeah. little extreme, I feel like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Would anyone care, like, 40 years in the future that your dying wife killed someone 40 years ago? Like, what are they going to do? Yeah. Like, lock her up? Like, no way. Like, you're going to, I don't know. It felt like a little bit of an extreme response to something that, like, probably wouldn't have been a big deal if it was revealed. Mm-hmm. And also, who would know? Like, even if they found the bones, there's no way people would have been like, ah, that was
Penny. It would have taken them, like, far too long to have ever figured out who did it. Like it would have taken years, probably.
There was no CCTV footage. You know what I mean? It just didn't, it just, I liked the tie-in for it to being like, oh, he's protecting his wife. Like, that's emotional. But from, like, it just felt like such an extreme jump for someone to literally commit murder to protect a secret that probably wouldn't have even been revealed. Or if it was, if someone would have figured it out, it would have been Elizabeth, and she wasn't going to say anything anyway. So, like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I, like, liked it, but I felt extreme in a way that felt a little out of left field for me personally.
Yeah, I agree. What were your thoughts on the Tony reveal?
So it's funny with the Tony reveal is because it was obviously the first mystery. But I felt as, like, other things were introduced, I became, like, less interested. I didn't care. I was like, oh, it's that Johnny guy. Like, he's in Cyprus, whatever. Like, they'll find him or who cares. Mm-hmm. But then, like, when the actual reveal happened right at the end, it ended up hooking me quite a bit because I, one, didn't see it coming. And it used, like, the classic, they were there all along and you never took them seriously. With Bogdan, like, you see Bogdan get taken advantage of by Ian in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, like, he's just going to take over Tony's job. And, like, he doesn't care either way. Like, he's not involved. But then, like, you find out, and it should have been obvious, like, when he was so good at chess, you know what I mean, when he was, like, doing all of his, you know, Queen's Gambit shenanigans, that he was, like, clearly very intelligent. He's been playing dumb this entire time. But yeah, he was playing chess, I was playing checkers, and I didn't see it coming. So it was, like, satisfying that, like, all these awful people got it coming. And then, like, he, again, similar to Penny, like, did vigilante justice in a lot of ways, and, like, he also got away with murder, much like Penny. So I don't know, I enjoyed that. It felt more logical than I think the John one did for me.
I agree. I really liked the reveal at the end. I just thought the way that the reveal was done was really, like, it really, like, took me out for a second. I was like, wow, okay. I will say that, like, that plot line, though, it for me, it just, like, got kind of, like, long in the tooth. I was like, how many red herrings can one book have? And I like a red herring, but I think for me, like, after a while, that was the thing that, like, kind of just got repetitive in the book. But I liked the end reveal of Tony. I got a little frustrated with how we got there, but in the end it worked out, so...
I agree. It was long. But then that's why I was like, I'll just focus on these other ones. But I agree. Like, that one was like, ugh, okay. It's, who is it? Just tell me at this point, please, for the love of God. Speaking of red herrings, who is your favorite red herring? Mine was the priest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was really interesting. I just didn't see that coming. Me either. And, like, especially when they initially were like, you're not even a priest. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Why are you here? Like, pretending to be a priest. But he was. And then the tragic love story. Ending in suicide, the one of, like, five suicides in this book. Why were there so many suicides in
that
this book?
It was really...
way too much.
It was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to be, like, a bad person. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they revealed that he wasn't actually, like, a priest, I was like, oh, why is he, like, faking? What's going on? And so I was like... And then with that whole scene with, was it Elizabeth? Like... Mm-hmm. Pretending to confess to the murder. I was like, oh, he's about to kill you, Elizabeth. Get out.
I know. Scram.
And then
get out.
And then once we get the full story, it was just like, oh, my heart.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That was my favorite red herring. And I also just liked the graveyard element, too, in terms of, like, they served and, like, they're trying to protect, like, their place of rest and, like, just the respect nature of it, and a lot of the characters are kind of invested in that for different reasons, which I thought was, like, an interesting choice.
As far as least favorite parts, I think for both of us, it's probably just the sheer amount of suicides that occurred during the book, which are just, like, a little bit, and I don't want to say, like, oh, it's like, obviously it's going to be off-putting regardless, but it just felt like there was just a lot of them happening.
There
was
so
many. It almost felt, I don't like to use the word gratuitous because I, especially when it comes to like art and all of that, but it just felt like, it just felt repetitive, like sort of doing the same thing. And I feel like that's the thing that like, I feel like is my, the one word I would use in criticism of this book is repetitive, mm-hmm. like for a variety of things. And so I almost just like kind of wish they had like tightened it up a little bit, mm-hmm. a little bit more.
No, I agree. I think like, I appreciate some of the dialogue I feel like it was trying to have on like assisted suicide in the way mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. people want to have agency and choice on like how they want to exit. And obviously we're dealing with older characters. And so like having that choice obviously is important and like a thing to have a conversation about. But I wouldn't say it was really dived into in any like significant way versus it just happening over and over and over again, which again I think made it feel repetitive without I think the impact of like the decision to try to include it. Does that make sense?
No, that makes a ton of sense. I think like what you're talking about and how it's just like it just kind of happens and it's not unpacked or it's not like really delved into or like textualized mm-hmm. in the book is the thing that like kind of just made it feel out of place almost sometimes.
And it was like 5 characters, like it was not a small amount of characters, so it was like it was a lot. But I think this would be a good segue, let me know what you think, Monica, to go into some of our listeners' thoughts, which were so fun to read. Thank you to everyone who submitted.
Super excited to share some of these. Do you want to just go back and forth and read some of the replies?
I'll start with a reply from Emily, and she made a really good point, which I think is just smart, and I agree with. She said this book kind of reminds her a little bit of A Man Called Ove, and I totally see that connection, because again, this Man Called Ove centers an older individual and it's about like a second lease on life. And I think the spirit of that can be really similar in overcoming grief and like creating a second chapter for yourself. And I also think like the heartwarmingness of it is very similar and kind of the bittersweet nature. But obviously this has a murder mystery. A Man Called Ove does not. But I definitely can see that connection for sure.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I've only read half of that book, but from the half that I did read,
oh my God, see that comparison. I sobbed so much while reading that book. She also mentions that Elizabeth is the friend that every introvert needs and would love to have. And I agree. Like, I think the Joyce, as we kind of mentioned, the Joyce and Elizabeth dynamic was so wonderful. They're like that Lucy and Ethel vibe, like classic girl gang. Like, they're so funny. Like, there's this scene on the bus when Elizabeth sits down. She's like, is it okay if we chat? Like, I could be quiet. I brought a book. And she's like, we can chat. She's like, great. I didn't bring a book. Like, it's just like funny. I don't know. They're just, their dynamic and their back and forth was so endearing and my favorite part of the story.
Yeah. I love that. I also just like love the idea of like showing a female friendship, like that, like just, just friendships in general between women. I feel like you don't often get books about regardless of age. And so that alone was just great to read.
I know. I loved it.
So our next response was from Molly. And so Molly really loved the book, loved that the characters were super lovable and their humor had them laughing out loud. So definitely agree on all of that. The one criticism I have is that there were a lot of characters and we jumped between many perspectives. And that made it sometimes hard to keep up with who was who and who knew what. I 100% agree. That was definitely that was my biggest frustration. And I wasn't sure if it was just me, like, because I did switch between the physical and the audiobook. But that makes me feel better that it's not just me.
It was hard.
Yeah, it got a lot.
Especially all the men, their names were so the same.
And I also think it's because like some of the characters just weren't fleshed out enough too. Like, obviously we knew Elizabeth and Joyce because they were like fully fleshed out people. And it's hard to keep track of characters when you don't like give them that full sort of scope. And so, you know, I think that kind of again pulls to like, I kind of wish that the book had just like tightened itself up a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. The next response is from a listener all the way from Japan. Hello.
Ooh.
And this is their first cozy mystery they read this year, and they've really loved it. And they thought it was interesting to the end with complex intertwining of many people's thoughts and mysteries, which I agree, I also liked. I liked that it was so multi-POV because we got to see the story from so many different mm-hmm. angles. But they were particularly impressed by the many forms of love depicted in this, love between parents and children, love between partners, love between husband and wife, love between friends. And they want to know which love impressed us the most.
I mean, I think for me, it would be Elizabeth and Joyce. I just like, mm-hmm. I loved their friendship. So that was the thing that like really kept me going in the book.
So. Yeah, I agree. I also do appreciate the depiction of like, the different parent-child relationship, especially as yeah. like children get older. So your dynamic is going to change with your parent, obviously. And the transition from being cared for to perhaps being like the caregiver and the different dynamics of that, like Joyce with her daughter, obviously Ron with his son. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I appreciated the inclusion of that and like how that can be a little complex because you're so busy and you're living different lives and you're still kind of intersecting. And I really actually loved the arc of Joyce and Joanna throughout the story. And I felt like I feel like their relationship got like re-knitted closely again, which I loved. And I also sometimes loved hearing yeah. Joyce like be like, oh, I hate my daughter's boyfriend, but I'm not going to say anything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
we're choosing to not like, intercede and like have those types of conversations, which is so classically like a mom move, like mom stop mm-hmm. no, don't comment on this.
No, I love that. Our next response is from Claudia, who gave it 5 stars. Wonderful first book in this cozy mystery series. I think it's interesting. So one of the things that Claudia wrote is, I read a lot of criticism that there were too many characters, but I felt that while yes, there were a lot of characters, no one was introduced unnecessarily or as filler. And I would actually agree with that. Like, even though for mm-hmm. me, it was hard to keep track of the characters and like, I have my criticisms with like wanting more, I do think like every character felt like a necessary piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I think because this is a series, like mm-hmm. these characters have an opportunity to be fleshed out more. Mm-hmm. No one felt unnecessary. Sometimes I wish there was just more of them or like, you know, structurally a bit different, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
The next response is from Sandy, and she wants to know our thoughts on the ending, specifically the John and mm-hmm. Penny revelations, and what did we think of the fact that Bogdan actually got away with murder? There's quite a bit of poetic justice in this book, which brings up some moral questions, i.e. is murder okay sometimes, such in the case of assisted suicide or out of revenge for the life mm-hmm. of an innocent? Looking forward to y'all's discussion. I think this is a great question because it's true, because I feel like this book isn't just like a cut and dry like murder mystery, like we caught the murderer, mm-hmm. they're in jail. Like there's lots of gray area, especially in regards to Penny and even Bogdan, like two characters almost when it's revealed, it's almost like, yeah, they did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. They got away with it. So it is interesting that like, you want the reveal, but you're also almost rooting for the murder in the end. It's like, what kind of person does that make me? But I actually think it's like a little refreshing that that was kind of the approach. We obviously touched on John. I felt like the John murder element was like a little strange, but what about you?
Yeah, I feel pretty similarly. I think my thing with it is that it's, you know, it is fiction, it's a book, and so it's like there are like legitimate like very philosophical questions to have around like, is like murder ever okay, and like and I don't know if I am smart enough to
honestly same. Is it? I don't know, guys. You tell me.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, I think self-defense is a thing. And also, like, some people are horrific people. And, like,
I don't know.
You could talk to me about it for hours. And I could probably agree with, like, 50 different opinions on it. But in the scope of this work of fiction, I, you know, was happy for Bogdan. And I was sad about the John one because I was just like, I was sad about the fact that like he chose to do it mm-hmm. in the first place and thus like then having to have that end.
Yeah. That felt like a tragic decision in my, like an unnecessary tragedy.
It was just really sad. So.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, obviously, I can only share these opinions in, like, the scope of this book in terms of, like, fiction, vigilante justice. Like, I don't know about living in my life with vigilante justice. I don't know. I can't speak on that. But in terms of reading this, I think the morally gray direction was to its benefit in terms of making it a more dynamic story.
For sure. So we have one last entry. This is from Rachel, and they gave it a 3.75 out of 5 overall, and is their very first cozy mystery, and only one of probably two or three mysteries they've ever read. Thought it was fun and addictive, loved the cast of characters, the retirement village setting, the exploration of aging and loss in the twists and turns. 100% agree. A few things that they liked less: the constant body shaming of DCI Chris, that's real.
That is real.
Some mysteries were more compelling than others. Absolutely. I think we totally touched on that. Yeah. The ending felt abrupt and some plot threads were still hanging loose. I definitely agree. It just kind of felt like it ended. What plot threads would still be loose? Do you?
No, I was gonna say, I can see that. I think that might be more on like preference, you know?
Yeah. No, that's fair. And then lastly, not many character descriptions, and when they did occur, it was halfway through the book. That's very real, actually. Maybe that's
such a
where
good point.
A lot of the, like, confusion or there being too many characters idea comes from, is that, like, we didn't have a very clear idea in our heads of, like, who these people are for a while.
That's such a good point. The only person they really talked about frequently was Chris in, like, a really terrible, like, honestly, not a great way, but because he at least had description, like, I never got confused about DCI Chris. Do you know what I mean? Versus like the Jason tone, like basically all of the like possible people who might have done it that were kind of in rotation, I constantly got them swapped around. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Amazing. Well, thank you everybody who submitted your thoughts. We love getting to read through them, and we're super excited for our next book club pick. Definitely keep track of, you'll find it on our Instagram and in our next episode. Did you have any final thoughts before we sign out?
No, I guess just thank you everyone for listening to our first season of the Cozy Club. And we're obviously still new to this, and we're hoping to continue to improve. And if you have any, I guess, like requests or, you know, things that you maybe would like to see on the Cozy Club, so please email us at cozyclubpodcast.com, and it is cozy with a Z because we're American, for the record. And yes, we're so excited to get organized and prep for our spring season.
Yes, very excited for everything we have in store. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Stay cozy. Bye.
Bye.